We are going to continue today with our series on the moments with the Master. And this morning we are looking at a tearful moment. I wonder what makes you cry. Do you cry? Some people just never cry at all. As I grow, I realize my strategy for crying changes as I grow. When I was young, I cried a lot to get attention from other people. And when I became a young man, I didn't cry at all. I thought crying is a sign of weakness, so I wanted to be tough. And then I got married, and I cried more. And I didn't know why. And then the children turn up, and I continue to cry some more. And I don't really know why. But if I share with a secret, I know someone who cries a lot. Don't tell anybody. It's my wife. She cries a lot, especially in the morning when she has her own time with the Lord. I always peek in to have a look. You can see her eyes closed and the tears coming out in the mouth. Her lips is talking to God, and I close the door quiet and walk out thinking to myself, I'm pretty sure she is so grateful to God for marrying a handsome man like me. I found out later that it wasn't. She was praying about something else. But we cry, right? We cry. When we feel sad, cry when we are happy. I watched a TV documentary of four students coming from U.S. to South Africa, and they went to visit Nelson Mandela when he was still alive. And they met him and talked to him, and they came out, and the camera was honing on them as they walked. And one of the girls was absolutely in tears. And she said, cameraman, this is the greatest day of my life. She was so touched by the experience of meeting Mandela. Apparently, she read the books, the biography, and read all about what he had done for the country. And she became a number one fan and longing to meet him. And that experience for her was so great that she said that this is the greatest moment of my life. And we cry because we are sad, and we also cry because we are happy. And it was so great to see my wife cry a lot. It's tears of joy. And we're going to read today a story about the tearful moment from a woman who had a moment with Christ. Let's look, if you look with me, to Luke chapter 7. I'll begin reading from verse 36 to 50. Luke 36 to 50. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him, Jesus, to dine with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when he learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept weeping, wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he replied, say, teacher. A moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he gracefully forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have judged correctly. Turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? Enter your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who forgiven little loves little. Then he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. Those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith have saved you. Go in peace. What a wonderful story, isn't it? See, salvation requires a belief in Jesus Christ. And there are, if you read the text, especially this chapter, you'll find two kind of people and different attitudes towards Jesus. There were people who had very simple faith and believed Jesus for who he was. And there are also those who wanted to find more, wanted to learn more about Jesus. They analyzed him, they questioned him, they challenged him. And it's quite interesting to learn that those who had simple faith and just believe in Jesus Christ, they were the people who received salvation, who were saved, who received the forgiveness of the Lord. And I want to speak about three things. There are many things you can speak about this, but given our time, I'll speak only about three of them. The first one, the rebuking of the self-righteous. In verse 39, it says the attitude of the Pharisees. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. You see, the Pharisees are an elite group of people that were running the synagogue. They are the top men in the synagogue. And this Pharisee was probably one. And the Pharisees, the leaders of the synagogues, are the people that Jesus spoke very strongly in Matthew 23. He spoke to his disciples and be very careful about these people. They are hypocrites. It's quite an interesting talk. Okay. You know, they like to show off. They like to sit in the front. They put on those beautiful garments and things to attract the attention of people and praise them. And he said to them, don't follow what they do. You listen to what they teach you and do them. Don't follow their examples because they set very bad examples. And this Pharisee is one of those. And we don't really know from the story what was the motivation for inviting Jesus. Because Jesus' reputation in this chapter started to spread. He just raised a man who was dead, and he healed many people who were sick. And his reputation spread around, but Jesus didn't have a qualification. He didn't have a synagogue. He didn't lead a synagogue. And we don't really know what was his motivation in inviting Jesus to his house. Anyway, he invited him. And the setting was, in those culture, the table, the food is set on a very low table. and people lie on low cushions, and their head towards the table and their feet away from the table. They lean on one hand and one hand free to reach to the food. And in this setting, oh, lie down here, the men and see Jesus and the Pharisee, and then this woman walked in. And in a that's culture, everything you have to do in order to welcome your guest. The first one, when someone walk in, the host will put the arms on the shoulder and give them a kiss on both sides. That is a welcoming to say that you are welcome. And secondly, they put the water and towel to clean their feet, because in Palestine, it's a very dusty country, hot, and they walk around, and the feet would be really dusty, and so they provide water. And then after that, they have some oil, usually olive oil with some perfume, and they put them on their head. It's the fragrance filled the house, because it's a welcoming sign. And apparently, these Pharisees were preoccupied with himself. They didn't do any of that. That means it just give us an indication of his motivation about inviting Jesus. He probably wanted to find out more about Jesus. And when this woman came in, the Pharisee set up his standard. He already judged the woman. She's a sinner. Everybody in the town knows her. And now he is judging Jesus. And if this man were a prophet, he would know the sin in the woman. So his criteria for being a prophet is to read the mind of other people. But it's quite interesting when Jesus, being God, found he knew that how he fought. And Jesus put back the standard to himself. And he said, Simon, the name of the Pharisee was Simon, I've got a question for you. Yeah? What is it? Two guys, they owe money. One big, 500 denarii. It's about 2 years worth of salary. And one guy was 50. They failed to be able, they weren't able to pay the debt. He forgave them both. Who loved the lender more? And the Pharisee said, probably the one who owed more. And she said, you're right. You got that one absolutely right. And Jesus, looking at the woman, and he said to him, read in verse 42. Verse 44, rather. Turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered to your house, and you came with no water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but since the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. In other words, Jesus said to this man, excuse me, okay, you judge the woman. Let's compare you to her, and you judge me. Let's have a look at this situation. Look at her. You didn't do all the things that you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to do the basic hospitality to welcome us here. You failed to do them. And I want to tell you, in your standard, you are testing me to see if I am a prophet, if I know the sin in this woman. I want you to know that I know the sin of this woman, and I know your sin as well. And comparing her to you, She is far better because she did the basic things that you're supposed to be doing. So it's a rebuke. And as far as we know, the self-righteous Pharisee never came to know the Lord, to believe in Jesus Christ. But I don't know how you feel. If it was you welcoming people to your house, and then you learn that you have done something wrong, it's a basic hospitality in the social settings. I remember not long ago, we had some people in the house, and Sismani was there, and we sat down and talked. And after a while, she walked in and she said, "Have you offered them tea?" And I said, "Oh, no, no, hey, do you want tea?" But you see, what this man failed to do to recognize himself, he was not self-aware of his own weakness because he was so filled with himself, wanted to find out about Jesus, maybe test Jesus in this situation. And he received a big rebuke from Jesus because of his failure. See, self-righteousness doesn't have any room in the salvation of God because salvation begins with poverty of spirit. We can't come to God and say, "Look, I am leading the worship at COV. I am the man." We can't come to God, "Look, I have given so much to the charity." Because we have to come to a point that we recognize our need for this man who is inclining in the table. And fail to do that. The second point I want to talk about is the worship of a forgiven sinner. Verse 37 and 38. "And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to wet his feet with her tears, and keep wiping them with the hair of her head, and kissing his feet, and anointing them with the perfume." Now, with the perfume. See, the setting is very clear. They are in this meal, and this woman walks in. It's not very popular. It's not a very common scene in this culture for men to get together and then a woman walks in. Not only that, but she is a sinner. We only know this lady by, it's only described here as a sinner. But the Bible, the commentators are all agree that she was a prostitute. It was very thriving at the time. And sometime earlier, what she was doing in this scene is not, that's why Jesus forgave him. But sometime earlier, she did that out of gratitude because sometime earlier, she met Jesus Christ. Maybe she saw a gathering crowd and she decided to come and lean at the back and listen to them. And during that time, probably Jesus was talking, calling people, say something like, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Maybe she had things like that. And somewhere along the way, she believed in Jesus Christ. And then Jesus moved on with his disciples, and she never got a chance to meet the Lord. And in this occasion, she thought, she heard that there is a dining appointment at the Pharisee's house. And she came and thought to herself, "I have to meet this guy. This guy is different. I allure men to myself. And this guy invited me to himself. I met many men before who looked at my hair, at the shape of my body. But this guy look at my heart and notice the emptiness in my heart," like the song we sang. And because of the many men she had met before, her heart was hard and numb. But hearing the voice of this man, it melts her heart. And she thought to herself, "I have got to meet this guy." and she heard that there is a sinner, and she did not care. She thought to herself, I don't really care what he would say. What would people say about me? I don't really care about what people say. You see, standing with people is not enough. And standing among a crowd is not enough. I've got to meet this guy. I've got to have a moment with the Master, a holy desperation to have a moment with the Master. And this is what this girl was doing. This woman was doing. So she nervously walked in, stood behind Jesus, noticed her unworthiness, and she fell at his feet. And her tears were out. Her tears were falling on Jesus' dusty feet, and she noticed the mixture of tears and the dust to make a lot of mess. Then she let go of her hair and wiped it. This is the hair that allure men to herself is now weapons of worship, and wipe the dust from his feet. In that culture, husband divorced wife for letting go of their hair in public. But this lady just didn't care. You know, this moment, and she never stopped kissing his feet, and she noticed the unworthiness of her kissing. He broke the alabaster oil and poured on his feet, and the perfume of her worship covered him. They were so beautiful. And then Jesus spoke to her. You see, the Pharisee invited Jesus to come to his house, but this woman invited Jesus to her heart. In return, Jesus invited her to his presence. And the Pharisees and the world have condemned her, but when Jesus opened his mouth to speak, she feels the love, the grace, reaching out to her she never felt before. When Jesus opened his mouth, she embraced and upgraded and praised everything she did. Every move she made was a worthy worship that the Lord himself appreciated. That is worship of a forgiven sinner. See, sometimes we are not really in tears because we don't really recognize our situation. See, to think of us dying and being in hell forever, and something happened that have nothing to do with us, that our destiny is going to be heaven with the Lord forever, praising and singing forever. Man! That is worth our worship. And that what brought tears into this woman. And I don't really know about you, but for me, my wife knows very well. Because we come from a different environment, but to be in this environment and even drive a vehicle is big. And how much bigger it is to spend eternity with the Lord himself. And I don't know about you, how you feel, but I wish we all follow this broken woman to the feet of Christ and worship him. Lastly, the order of our salvation. Jesus Christ is the author of our salvation. Let me read to you verse 47 to 50. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. Then he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. Those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins. And he said to the woman, your faith saved you. Go in peace. Oh man, what to listen, coming here with her tears, with gratitude for what she had got. And Jesus affirmed to her, your faith has saved you. You see, the Pharisee tested Jesus by how much he knew. Jesus basically saying to this Pharisee, you test me about how much I know. And you assess people by the degree of their sin, how sinful they are. But I see people and judge them of how much they are forgiven. And this woman sins a lot. And she was forgiven much. And that is why. And Jesus was saying, I know her sin, I know your sin, but I do more than that. I forgive sin as well, because I am more than a prophet. I am not just a prophet. I am not just a teacher that you see on the street. I am the savior of the world. And he said to this woman, your faith have saved you. Go in peace. And I hope that this is what we are. And we come to the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that saves us. Very shortly, we are going to celebrate what Jesus did on the cross for us. But he is the offer of our salvation. He's the one who offers eternal life. And only need from us our faith to be placed on him. And that is what he said to this woman. Salvation is only a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The woman found the source of salvation. Isn't that great? Let me finish by reminding you of three things. First one, be very careful about our attitudes towards the non-Christians, okay? Sometimes we meet someone who's not a Christian, then like the Pharisee, we think highly of ourselves. And the next thing, we disassociate ourselves from that people like that. But Jesus came to seek and save the lost. How will these people know about Jesus Christ if we keep away and separate us like this Pharisee did? But you see, every sinner is a potential worshiper. And God himself is in the business of making great worshipers out of sinners. And that's how we should see the people around us, the people in the community. Because every single person bring the weapon and the gift that they use in a sinful life and use that as gift or an instrument of worship to the Lord himself. Secondly, are you figuring out who Jesus is? You know, we live in a time that is very hard at the university. The curriculums of almost every university teaches away from Jesus Christ. And people are encouraged to question everything, including the Bible and Jesus himself. It happened in the time of Jesus because people who were questioning and trying to analyze Jesus Christ never came to know the salvation that he offered. And it is my request to you, if you are still questioning Christ, you need a moment with the Master to come, pray, and let him reveal himself to you. Then you will know the salvation and the forgiveness that he offers. And lastly, the forgiveness Jesus gave this woman years ago is the same he offers today. There are people here I don't really know. I don't really know if you are Christian. And if you know the weight of your sin, don't carry that home. This is the good opportunity for you to come forward. We have lots of people here who can talk to you. We have our pastor here who can talk to you to come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. When we sing the last song, the next song, come forward and people here will pray for you. Because Jesus still offers the same eternal life and the same forgiveness that he offered this woman. This is your time. Let us pray. Lord, we want to thank you for the many blessings you have bestowed upon us. And the message we learned from this wonderful story. And Lord, we just pray that as we go out tonight, that we have that heart of worship, that we give our all in worshiping you like this woman did. And we just pray specifically if there are people here who long to meet you, Lord, that you give them the courage and the determination like this woman to come forward. Staying behind the crowd is not enough anymore. Standing among the crowd is not enough anymore. Every single person here needs a time with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.